Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly and stay safe. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hello.
Hi, buddy.
I get to go play detective today.
Really?
Yes. Once a year, each grade does like a family involvement or a parent involvement activity during school hours. And it's Ava's turn, and they're doing a whole like detective thing with clues, and the kids can dress up. I'm really excited about
it. That's adorable.
We got to solve a case.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think you're just made for that. I think you're going to do it fine.
Cody and I were kind of fighting over it. And I'm like, this is kind of my area.
You guys are so fucking wholesome. Oh my God, I love it.
I want to go solve a crime. I don't know. The fourth grade's doing all sorts of cool stuff. Ava was really upset because they have this little bunny that comes once a year and does like this play. But I guess the cutoff is third grade, so she doesn't get to see the bunny play anymore. But they had like the district attorney come in, and they did a whole court thing last week, which was really cool.
I don't know. I'm going to go hunt a ghost tomorrow.
You're going to where?
So as you may recall,
hunting one, not making one, correct?
No, well, I mean, try me. We'll find out. Give me a reason. No, we, you know, it's been the year of haunted houses, but now haunted house season is over and we seem to be transitioning that to haunted locations. So there's a little bit of ghost hunting gear involved and a German restaurant locally downtown. If you're local, the Rathskeller, German restaurant does overnight ghost hunting experiences where you can bring your equipment and you stay in the Rathskeller until like 4 a.m. So we're going to do that.
I'm loving this new era.
It's a new era stuff with you. So many ways.
It's so good. I hope you find lots of ghosts.
Would you be scared to find a ghost?
It depends on how friendly they are.
Well, yeah, but like generally speaking, if you were going on a ghost hunting experience, would you be nervous?
I think like more
on a spooky level.
I think more excited.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. It's just now occurring to me that this is actually like a spooky thing. I don't think ghosts are any scarier than people. They're just people, really.
I do remember saying the first time we met should be like at an overnight haunted hotel, and you cut me down on that. So
did I?
Yes, you have evolved. I'm here for it.
See, I think that my problem was the lock-in aspect of it because I'm very claustrophobic. I have evolved, though. I definitely have.
Well, do you want to jump into brackets?
I love this bracket so much. It's so fucking unhinged.
I'm really curious what you're going to pick. Okay. This week is Carrot Top versus a Lumberjack.
Oh, no. I'm too gay for this. Can it be a Lumberjack mask lesbian? Tell me.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm here for it.
Okay, a lumberjack then. Obviously a lumberjack. Are you kidding me? With that clarification, this is easy.
Found yourself on that side of TikTok yet?
The lumberjack side?
Yeah.
Like boys or girls?
Both.
No. Well, there's a boy who keeps coming up in my For You page, and I just think it's so silly and cute because he's just doing stuff and people get so turned on by it. And I don't understand it because it's just this dude with muscles like doing stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are so silly. But I'm the same way about girls. So what can I say?
Yes, there's a girl one too. And she, I forget both of their names, but like she, I want them to like pair up. And like,
I mean,
have,
I follow
like,
the shit out of the Hey Baby Girls, which is a little overlap aesthetically, but I don't think she counts as a lumberjack.
It's so good. I love it.
Yeah. So I think that sexy boys are silly boys because I can't see it at all. And it's so funny when you are so completely outside of like the demographic that would be attracted to someone to see someone like really being sexy in a way that other people are really going to appreciate. And you don't. This must be how ace people feel all the time. How do you stop laughing at us? So no, I'm not on the Lumberjane side of TikTok, but you know, drop your recommendations. I wouldn't mind getting there.
I love that Lumberjane.
Yeah. Now Carrot Top, I do kind of feel like, I don't know if it's an age thing or just a cultural reference thing, but I only peripherally even know who Carrot Top is. Some kind of weird redheaded, like B-list celebrity, I feel like.
Comedian?
Sure. Yeah, that. But that's the extent of my exposure to Carrot Top.
Carrot Top just made news recently, bringing it back to the TikTok. The girl was like, that was on the airplane and she's like, that's not fucking real, you know what I'm
oh
talking?
Yeah, of course I do.
He was on that flight.
Carrot Top, wait, yeah. Was he what wasn't real?
It wouldn't that be hilarious?
Oh, the real lizard was Carrot Top all along.
It was Carrot Top.
Previously unspoken sentences. It was Carrot Top all along.
It was.
Well,
all right, so I don't have a long one for you today because I am going to go play detective, but I think it's a good one. It's a little old-timey. Not too
okay.
Old-timey.
Are we going to talk about something other than toys this week?
Yes, I need a change.
Okay, well, you're not getting one next week, so, you know, mix it up this week.
Okay. All right, so on May 31st, 1930... a big-ass baby was born at the St. Francis Hospital in San Francisco, California.
How big was it?
11 pounds.
I need some old-school game show person to get that, please.
11 pounds and 6 ounces.
Oh, that is pretty damn big.
It's a huge fucking baby,
owie.
Right?
Owie. Yeah.
He was so big that the nurses nicknamed him Samson. Isn't that cute?
What does that have to do with anything?
Because isn't Samson like...
Oh, like a muscly Hulk Bible guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he is. Okay, I don't feel like I would have ever made that connection from Big Baby to that nickname of all things. But sure. What year was this?
1930.
Okay, sure.
Probably. So, Samson was a handful growing up. He wasn't a very good student. And he also found himself like... always in summer school, just so he could get to the next grade.
Oh, damn.
He was very athletic, but he had no interest playing on any of the school sports teams.
Oh.
He was also very musically talented, but again, he ignored the encouragement from teachers to participate in any of the school plays. Like, he just,
what did he want to do? Just.
He said that all he had on his mind was, quote, fast cars and easy women.
I mean, fair enough, though. Sometimes same.
He's going through the motions. Like, you know, he's got
these
talents. I mean,
it sounds like he found the motions he was interested in.
A man that knows what he wants.
Yeah.
There
the fun
was...
thing is I have absolutely zero clue where this is going, so I don't know if I should talk shit or if this is lightning strikes all over again. I don't know. I'm just going to do what comes natural.
Good. I love it. I don't like pre-planned Brienne.
I mean, you don't really ever get it. So good.
There was one thing, though, that Samson could not say no to. In the throes of the Korean War, more than 1.5 million men were drafted between June 1950 and June of 1953. And so, in the fall of 1950, Sampson was drafted into the United States Army and sent to Fort Ord in Monterey Bay, California.
I don't feel like that was a good match.
What?
Sampson in the Army.
No. I mean, he wants to do his own thing.
He wants to do fast cars and easy women. I mean, let the boy pursue his dreams.
But listen, don't feel too bad for Sampson. Okay. Because in the Army, somehow being drafted, he has landed him the cushiest of jobs.
Okay.
He became a lifeguard and helped oversee the Fort Ord swimming pool. Never seen combat. Dude got drafted and became a lifeguard.
He's had an interesting life so far.
He's the luckiest son of a bitch, I'm telling you.
Yes.
I can't imagine, like, in that time, like, people are signing. It was a time where, like, guys were, like, we're signing up, you know? And
now does he stay beefy?
He's a big boy. He's like 6'4".
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering. Because I'm like, you would think that they would have put that to other use in the Army.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Rumor had it that he was, quote, romancing one of the daughters of a Fort Ord officer.
Who
might have been entreated to watch out for him when names came up for postings.
Oh,
so his little lady was like, no, daddy, please don't send him to war. I love him.
Oh, Sampson.
Sampson.
Where would we be without the love of a woman?
So one weekend, he got his little, they had military, they get these little weekend passes. And Sampson decides to head to Seattle to visit his parents who have moved there at this point. And by some accounts, he's also meeting another girl that he's interested in. A buddy of his told him that if they wore their military uniforms, they could catch a free ride on a military aircraft. And so that's what they did. It's easy peasy. Just wear their uniforms, free ride.
Man, this could be going absolutely anywhere.
So they shoot off to Seattle, him and his buddy. They do their thing, hang out with the parents, hang out with the ladies. And on that Sunday, when it was time to return home, they just repeated the process. Put on their uniforms, let's go catch a military flight. So they headed to the Sandpoint Naval Air Station in Seattle to hitch a ride home. But once there, they would find their travel options severely limited. There were only a couple of Douglas A1 Sky Raiders taking off for the naval station in Oakland. I'm going to send you a picture of this plane, too.
Okay.
So the picture I sent you is of the Sky Raider.
It's cute.
It's cute, adorable. Right? So they're going to Oakland. It wasn't Fort Ord, but it was close enough that they could make it back, you know, to base on time. The only problem is that plane that you're looking at, it's basically a one-seater.
Oh, no.
So the plane did have a compartment on the tail of the plane used for a radar operator. It has like a small door. You can kind of see a small door in there, a very small window. Quote, mysterious instruments, an oxygen mask, and an intercom with which one could talk to the pilot. So you see that, and we've got 6'4 Sampson. He's like, please, like, I'll cram in there. It's fine. Everything is fine.
And somehow he ends up on our podcast.
So he's pleading with Francis Anderson, the pilot, to let him hitch a ride. And Anderson's not really having it, but finally, Sampson has worn him down, and he lets him squeeze into the compartment. He was given a parachute, strapped in, and was shown how to activate the intercom and the oxygen mask. So easy peasy, we're going home. And with that, a couple of bombers took off to California. It's almost like a convoy of these bombers, right? There's a couple of them going. They're all heading in the same
I feel like this is not really going to be lemon squeezy.
It's going to be lemon squeezy, I promise.
This isn't feeling that lemon squeezy.
It's not, because the weather conditions, they weren't the best. It was overcast. But it's also the Pacific Northwest, so it's not really that uncommon. Once they reach cruising altitude,
I'm leaving that in because of all people, you aren't saying cruise right, really?
What?
You should say cruise. You are cruise. Really?
Well, now you're going to make me say it again. It's my own last name.
Yep.
Once they reach cruising altitude, the stuff of nightmares. Samson's little door in the back, it pops open.
No.
Yeah. And he's frantically trying to shut it, but it would just fling open again.
Oh.
Sometimes the air pressure would like shut it, but then it would like pop open. Can you imagine like the force of trying to close this fucking door?
Oh my God. No, that's terrifying.
It reminds me of those like roller coasters where like something, you know, a door opens or a belt doesn't latch all the way. I just, fuck no. So he's trying to shut the door. He reaches for the radio to call Anderson, who just simply told him he just needs to twitch. See, I can't say any of them. He just needs to twist the latch shut. You know, he's like mansplaining him this door. He could not be more bothered. I don't think Anderson actually realized that the door was like fully opening. I thought maybe he thought it was just rattling or whatever.
Yeah, because that does kind of seem like a bit of an emergency. You can be blasé about some things, Rose, but not the door on the plane popping open. I try to bury a Titanic quote in every episode.
Well, I love it.
And I know for a fact that I have for like at least the last five, and I'm really proud of this. Okay, carry on.
So twist the latch. It's obviously easier said than done. Samson's fighting with the door for another 15 minutes. And finally, he's radioing back in. And Anderson replies again, "Look, I'm busy right now. I've got to get back to you."
Oh.
Yeah.
This is very cavalier about this matter.
I was telling Cody about this story, and he was like, man, military pilots back then. Wild.
I mean,
wild.
I guess to be fair, though, he's apparently been hanging in there somehow for 20 minutes.
Yeah. So soon the pilot of the other Sky Raider that was flying next to him, they also radioed Anderson saying, by the way, your rear door is open. So I guess like when another pilot tells you, like, it's a little more serious than, you know, your hitchhiker. So he tells Samson that he's got to get this door closed, period. Like, you got to figure it out.
Samson's the problem, really?
Samson's the fucking problem.
Wow.
So feeling around, Samson found some loose cables and was able to tie the door shut, praying that would just hold and not just, you know, tear away from the hinges. The other Sky Raider was having its own issues. The oxygen system wasn't working, so they had to make an emergency landing, leaving Anderson and Samson to fly to California on their own the rest of the way.
Oh.
The weather...
This is harrowing.
It is very harrowing. The weather grew increasingly worse. Anderson flew higher in hopes of getting above the fog. With a higher altitude, Samson was feeling the effects of the thin air in the compartment. He was really cold, and he was starting to feel a little bit woozy. So, he grabbed for an oxygen mask. But like the other Sky Raider that emergency landed, it wasn't working either.
Oh, shit.
So, again, he radioed to Anderson. This is like, I feel like Anderson is treating this like toddlers in the backseat of your minivan, you know?
Absolutely.
He could hear Anderson, but Anderson could not hear him. Soon, the radio completely shit the bed. So at this point, we have a door hanging on by a wire and a prayer, no oxygen, and now no access to communication.
This is fine.
It is fine. 2.5 hours into the flight, things kept getting worse. Anderson's navigational aids weren't working anymore, and they were running out of fuel, Brianne.
Are you kidding? Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, this is what happens, you know, if you don't know where you're going, you're kind of just going a little bit of everywhere, and you're burning up that fuel.
Yeah.
The pilot turned west, and Samson was relieved to catch a glimpse of the San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. Just as relief set in, Anderson banked north. They were running out of fuel, and crashing in a populated city, especially like as big as San Francisco. I mean, this is the last place you want to ditch your plane, right?
Yeah.
But without communication, Samson had no idea what was going on. So he was sitting in his tiny compartment, just buckling and unbuckling his seatbelt, making sure he could bail quickly if he needed.
Oh, no. That's terrifying.
Yeah. The plane was losing altitude. And then an explosion.
This is like an all-around bad dream.
Yeah. Anything that could go wrong was going wrong.
Yeah.
Quote, Anderson had blown off the auxiliary fuel tank that was attached to the belly of the fuselage. It was becoming clear that he wasn't going to just bail out and say, adios, kid in the back. Anderson was taking them down for a crash landing at sea.
Ooh.
Yeah. Soon, the plane was racing just feet above the water. Samson said it was like being in a high-speed boat. The plane slammed into the water, bouncing up and down violently until the nose of the plane came down. Samson had to get out. But the wire, the cables that he tied the door shut with...
Oh, no.
He tied them too good.
Oh, my God.
You know, 'cause it had to hold the
this
door.
This is what would happen to me. It would just be dumb shit. Again and again.
So he was struggling, trying to get these cables off. Eventually, though, he was able to get free, and he climbed onto the wing of the plane that was still above water. So it's kind of like tilted at this point, like one wing's underwater, the other one's raised up.
This is a straight up action movie.
It is an action movie. It needs to be a movie, I think.
Yeah.
So Anderson, he was free too. Like, they're good. They've crash landed this plane. Well, Anderson has crash landed this plane. Samson was along for the ride.
For the record, for some reason, I am fully envisioning Samson as like a younger, more corn-fed Fabio. I'm not sure why, but I will not stop.
I like that. Now I can't stop picturing it. We just need some geese in here, right?
It's like if Colton from The Bachelor merged with Fabio.
That's so
funny. That is fully what's happening in my head. And now he's standing on the wing of a plane.
Yeah.
There are fireworks in the sky. I don't know why.
So the plane's sinking, and Samson realizes it's like the Titanic. It's going to suck them in, right?
Nice. I appreciate the fact that we now have two Titanic references in this episode, and there's one from each of us.
You know what? I didn't even write that in the script. I just was...
You just ad-libbed it,
babe. I ad-libbed that for you, my bestie. Thank you. Forever.
Thank you.
So Samson, he turns to Anderson, and he says, I don't know about you, but I'm getting the hell out of here. And so he jumped into the water. There are conflicting reports on, like, actually, like, how they managed to get it. But they both get life rafts, like little rubber life rafts. And they vow to each other that they're going to stick together until they make it to shore. At this point, it's late in the afternoon. The fog was still thick, and the ocean, it is, like, about as angry as you can get. Like, the swells Ooh. Are huge. At one point, Samson, he is tossed off his raft. And he lost Anderson. He couldn't find Anderson. Well, he didn't want to yell out, according to him, because that would...
I wake up the sharks.
You know, later on, It's not in this story, but where they are at is shark infested waters.
Oh, no shit.
It is so fucking crazy.
I was just running my mouth.
It is so fucking crazy to me that, like, with everything that has gone wrong in this story, that there was, like, they somehow managed to, like...
Yeah, there's not a shark storyline coming, I assume?
There's not a shark storyline. There's not.
That is surprising.
He didn't want to yell because, you know, they can see the shore. It is really far away. And he's like, I've lost him. I cannot use my energy. Like, I've got a long road ahead of me. So he stays quiet. But he also doesn't have his raft anymore, right? So he's just swimming and swimming. But the ocean breakers kept pulling him back to sea. The undertow would force him under several times. Points where he was like, I'm gone. Like, I'm not making it through this. As Samson struggled, nighttime set in. He said, I went through jellyfish schools and all kinds of things, and they became fluorescent at night. It was like some science fiction deal. But by the time you know, your mind is... Talk about hallucinations. So it's like everything's glowing. He doesn't know what's real. He's fucking exhausted. He's been in the water for hours, right?
That would be an incredible movie scene.
Yes.
I am just saying.
I think this would make a great movie. Occasionally, he could see lights of houses, and he said, all I could think of was there was some guy up there sitting in front of his fireplace having a beer. I wanted to be doing the same thing. He started making headway, maneuvering through large patches of kelp. If he were to get tangled in it, he would surely drown. But he managed through the obstacle. He said, and then I got in past the kelp, and I started hearing surf up there. On one hand, you're excited to go in. On the other, you could just get pounded on the rocks. There was a lot of phosphorus in the water that night, and the phosphorus was making the water really glow. It was strange. Have you ever seen Red Tide?
I have not.
I've seen it a couple times when I was living in California. I cannot imagine how fucking trippy it would be when you're in survival mode, you don't know what you're hallucinating, and everything around you is just like,
yeah,
glowing.
I need to look that up. I don't really know anything about that.
Yeah, look up Red Tide. I bet you could just do like Red Tide glowing.
I am right now. Red Tide glow. Oh, wow. Huh. Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be unsettling.
It's bananas, right? Nothing like it. It's so cool. Under the bioluminescence of the red tide, Samson was able to make it to a beachy area. He said, so I kind of worked my way into that. Just partly luck, because everywhere the water was really rough. And I got into this spot, and I had a really rough time climbing out. The undertow here kept pulling him back under, but I mean, he's there. He's at the finish line. So he finally grabs onto a boulder, catches his breath, and he climbs onto the beach. And those hallucinations he mentioned, well, they just kept getting worse. He said he thought he saw Anderson just kind of bobbing around in the water.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it wasn't Anderson. He said, I'd run out and I'd grab this one rock and I'd run back and I'd sit there. And then I could see the rock moving back and forth and I'd run back and I'd grab the rock.
What the fuck?
So, like, he's not trying to leave him behind, but, like, the poor guy is just seeing things.
Yeah.
So at some point he's like, fuck this rock. And he climbs his way off these boulders onto the larger beach, you know, and he starts seeing this blinking light in the distance. So he heads for it, eventually running into a massive chain link fence. With all the energy he has left, he decides he's going to climb it. So he climbs it and he crosses this field, and eventually he finds himself standing in front of a concrete blockhouse. Samson pounded on the door of what would be the RCA radio station at Point Reyes. Surprise, operators found him cold, wet, and in a state of shock, and speaking incoherently about a plane running out of fuel. Samson said, "This one lone guy," and he looked up and he said, "What are you doing here?" He said it like it was definitely private property. And I said, "I've been in an accident." And he said, "You mean an automobile?" And I'm standing there. I'm just looking like shit. And I said, "No, we were in a plane crash. We were in a plane out there."
Oh my gosh. How is this not a movie?
Earl Foster, the radio operator on duty at the station, said the boy was dazed and in a state of shock. He could hardly speak. So after a brief rest in the house where he was warmed and the story was finally pieced together, Samson was taken to the Coast Guard lifeboat station at Point Reyes, where, to his absolute surprise, he was rejoined with Anderson.
Oh.
Yeah. The fierce.
Oh, I didn't think that was going to happen.
No, this is a survival story.
No, I don't know if everyone was going to survive, though.
Yeah. The fierce tide actually pulled Anderson more than 15 miles north from where Samson had finally landed. So, I mean, just to show you how crazy that current is. I mean, they're 15 miles apart.
Jesus.
At the station, the men received medical attention and were sent back to their respective bases to await an investigation. 2 days later, Samson was back lifeguarding the Fort Ord pool.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. He stayed at Fort Ord until he was discharged from the Army in 1953.
I mean, at that point, if you can't be a lifeguard, who can?
Right? I mean, listen, he had to swim all that way. Like, being a lifeguard, yeah, like, surely saved his life, right?
Oh, I would think, yeah.
Yeah. So, Samson would go on to have quite the career after his stint in the military. He rarely spoke of the plane crash, but when he directed the movie Sully about the landing of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 on the Hudson River, Samson, famously known as Clint Eastwood, said,
Shut the fuck up.
I definitely did think about it when I was shooting
Melanie June.
He said, "I definitely did think about it when I was shooting this. I'm probably the only director who's actually been in a water landing."
Melanie.
Isn't that?
You got me good. Shut up.
Isn't that so cool?
Oh my God.
I didn't know.
Like, literally, how is this not a movie?
I didn't know Clint Eastwood was in a plane crash.
No.
Wild.
Holy shit. How did you keep a straight face through that whole thing?
It was really hard. I could keep a straight face. I just couldn't say words.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so that is Clint Eastwood's plane crash survival story.
That was a twisteroo.
Twisty, twisty. I did look into, I kind of went down a little bit of rabbit hole to see if they ever recovered the plane. It has not been recovered. Wow. Back in 2018, this like underwater drone that this company had made had heard about the story, and you know, they were on a mission to find it, but I don't know if they lost funding or what went on, but yeah, it's still out there somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
They can't quite pin it down, but it's less than 10 miles off the coast. So,
wow.
It'd be really cool.
Are they looking real hard at this point, do you think?
Well, that was in 2018, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was so good. You did so good with that.
I just thought that was so neat. I randomly came across that story on TikTok, and I was like, this is fucking wild. This is the wildest shit I've ever heard.
Don't you love gotcha episodes? I have been chasing that high ever since the LaRoche family.
I don't think I've never done one. It feels good. We're gonna have to
It's addictive.
Do more of these. You're going to have to come up with something crafty for the title.
Oh, I will. I was thinking about that already. That was the first thing I thought about, is I'm not spoiling that gacha for anybody else.
We might have to bury the
I'll make sources. It like Samson's story or something. Yeah.
I like that. Samson's story.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about the short one, but I hope it was action-packed.
It was action-packed. That was perfect. That was exactly what we needed.
You ready for some disaster relief?
Sure. I will go first.
I know you will.
Clearly, because we just so enthusiastic.
We just talked off mic for...
Yeah, and you've been talking for a while. Every week, it's a bit at this point that we're like, do you want some disaster relief? And then we pause recording for a minute, and we're both like, no, I have no idea. We're so not ready. We're never ready.
And we get sidetracked and start talking about other things.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're like, let's do disaster relief. We pause recording for a minute, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, I'm having so much fun. And then just lead right into telling you about my stupid side project. So my girlfriend bought an enormous tub of Lego. Okay. Are you a you can't say Legos person?
It's, you know, I don't care. My kids say Legos. It does make my eye twitch. I've said it, though. I've been guilty of it. Okay. I try to keep it Lego.
Look, for you, I will say Lego. Girlfriend bought a huge, like, stupidly huge tub of Lego, and I have discovered that you can sell it on eBay. I don't think she's trying to keep it. You can sell it on eBay for, like, a pound, you know, of red or a pound of black blocks or whatever. So that's the idea, is that at some point we will sort and flip this Lego, and that is ostensibly the end game here, but let me tell you, the journey is the destination, because I've been sorting Lego by color for weeks, and it is the most relaxing, satisfying task I have ever undertaken.
That's what we were talking about. I just think I'm like, I'm low-key jealous. Like, I'm
sending you pictures of Lego as we're talking, and we're like, fuck it, this should be disaster relief, since this is what I'm not shutting up about. So I am.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
There's a lot. There is a lot. It is very, very fulfilling to sort, and there's so much left to go. And I'll be working on that this evening. What's yours?
No, that's. Hold on. Sorry. Well, before I get in mine, you know what's cool? Like, if people say you are in the market for bags of Lego, there is an app. I think it's called Bricklet. I'm pretty sure it's Bricklet, where basically you can throw your Legos down on the ground, take a picture, and it will come up with different building ideas.
Set
you have. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
What a time to be alive.
I'm telling you. It's so cool. Oh, I need to get some more Christmas Lego. You have me inspired. mine is going to sound like a sponsored ad. It is not. I have been struggling lately with dinner. I have been in the biggest fucking rut.
Okay, this really does sound like a sponsored HelloFresh spot.
It's not HelloFresh. I've never tried any of those. What are they called, Briancy?
Meal kits.
Meal kits. I've never.
This is so sounding like a sponsored ad.
I mean, if they want to sponsor us, please. Yeah. Do. The problem, I was looking into it. Cody and I have been talking about doing it for quite a while now, just to mix things up. And the problem with us is we have 7 people in our family, and most of these meal kits are like servings of like 4. So I found one called Home Chef, and I just got it this week, and it's so fucking good.
I'm just like, I am astonished by what a pitch perfect ad this would be.
It would be. We should get sponsored. No, it's really good. It came the other day. We did it for 6 people because Squonk's not eating a full meal. We probably could take it down because we've actually had leftovers that we've been using for lunch. And the prices are pretty reasonable. But we just started out with like four meals for the week because I'm like, fuck it. Like if I'm going to shut off the brain, I'm going to do it for most of the week.
Yeah.
But the first night, well, last night.
I was hoping you were going to tell me what some of them are. I love knowing what people's meal kit foods are.
The first one was a sausage and like a vodka sauce penne pasta with spinach. It was so good. Last night we had steak strip sandwiches on, what's it called? My brain's not working anymore. Pretzel rolls.
Pretzel rolls.
And pepper jack cheese with homemade french fries. It was.
Damn, Melanie.
It was really cool. Like normally I would just get a bag of fries. I made like, they just send you fucking potatoes with like the seasoning and you have to cut it. So it's like. It's not like an easy thing. It's just like a mix it up thing.
Right.
But this.
That sounds awesome.
It's really good. So.
I've been in a rut too. I tried to make pad thai last night.
Tonight we're having sweet and spicy shrimp tacos.
I mean, aside from shrimp being bugs, your shrimp and your sweet and spicy bug tacos sound delicious.
It's cool though because you can like switch them out. And what I do like about this is because I do have like commitment problems with like stuff like this. So like once I'm over it, I want to be able to cancel it. They actually send you a recipe card with like holes in it that you could put into a binder. So you could just go out and if you like it and just buy the shit yourself.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm like, you're kind of getting like a free little recipe book too with every little thing you make. I don't know. If you're interested. Yeah.
I mean, I do feel like meal kit companies should take a listen and see how great we would do.
Yeah.
Sponsoring their product.
If anybody wants a code, let me know. Just kidding, I don't have code. But no, seriously, it's so, I don't know. I never heard of Home Chef, so.
I don't think I've heard of it.
That's good. I'll have to send you pictures.
I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued.
So, all right, I'm going to go play detective with my daughter.
Yes. Let us know. Well, let me know, because I get to know stuff. Let me know how it goes.
I will. I guess till next time, sweet dreams or no
dreams.
Sweet
dreams or no dreams.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.